Okay, good evening. We are looking at Parshat Ki Tavoh and a discourse that was said in 1965 and exploring this concept. So, since it does discuss various points about the actual Sedra, let's begin with the Sedra as we normally do. V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz. So this is the law of Bikurim. Right, that's true. The law of the first fruit. V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz. It will be when you come to the land, asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha nachala, which Hashem your God is giving you as an inheritance. V'yerishta v'yashavta ba. And you'll inherit it and you dwell in it. And you should take from the first of all the fruits of the ground, asher tavi me'atzecha, which you bring from your land, asher Hashem elokecha noten lach, which God gives you, v'samta v'tene, and you should put the fruit in a basket, v'halachta el ha'makom, and you should go to the place, asher yivcha Hashem elokecha, which God will choose, L'shaken shmo sham, to make his name dwell there. So that is Jerusalem. Uvata el ha'kohen, and you should come to the kohen. Asher yeh b'yamim ahem, will be there in those days. V'amata elav, and you should say to him, Higadati hayom l'Hashem elokecha. I declare today to Hashem your God. Kivati el ha'aretz, I've come to the land, asher nishba Hashem l'avoteinu, which God swore to our ancestors, latet lanu, to give us. V'lakach ha'kohen atenim yadecha, the kohen should take the basket from your hand, v'hinicho lifnei mizbach Hashem elokecha, and he puts the basket next to the altar. V'anita v'amata, and you should then declare lifnei Hashem elokecha, before Hashem, your God, Arami Oved Avi, he translates it here, which one might think of as a more straight literal translation. A wandering Aramean was my father, my ancestor, Abraham. Although the sages explain it, and it's also explained in the Haggadah, as Lavan, the Aramean, wanted to destroy my father, Jacob. Vayered Mitzchaima, and he went down to Egypt. Vayagar Sham, and he dwelt there b'mitema at, with just a few people. Vayhisham, he went down to 70 people. Vayhisham legoy gadol, and he became there a great nation. Atzumbarov, very great. Now, the next page has got two sides. So you need the side which says 991 on the left. And then he gives the whole description of how the Egyptians afflicted us and they made us work very hard and we cried out to God and God heard our voices and he saw our pain and Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with wondrous miracles and he brought us to this place and he gave us this land. Eretz, that's verse 9. Vayivienu el ha'makom hazeh, he brought us to this place. Vayiten lanu et ha'aretz, and he gave us the land, hazot, this land, eretz zavat chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Va'ata, and now, hinei aveti et reshit pri adama. I have brought the beginning of the first of the fruits, asher natata li Hashem, which you have given me, Hashem. And you put the fruits down before the altar, and you bow down to Hashem. And v'samachta b'chol ha'tov, you should be happy with all the good which Hashem has given you, and to your household, you and the Levite and the Ger who is in your midst. Now then it goes on about when one has cleared out other tithes, the miser. And one has brought the various tithes, and at the end of the third year, you come also to you say before God, I've cleared out the holy things from my house, and I've given it to everyone that it's supposed to be, and I've kept all the rules about it over the page, and it goes on, line 15, verse 15, Hashkifa mim'on kotcha, look down from your holy place, min hashamayim, from heaven, uvarech et amcha et Yisrael, bless your people Israel, ve'et adama shenatata lanu, the land you've given us, kasher nishbata labotenu eretz zavat chalav advash, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then it goes on, according to the discourse, it goes on. Hayom hazeh, today, this day, Hashem elakecha mitzavacha, God is commanding you, lasot et hachukim ha'ele, to keep these laws, ve'et ha'mishpatim, all these rules, and you should keep them with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, if you see the word udvash at the end of line 16, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. That makes the name Yudke Vavke. Vav, two hays, and a yud. So the two verses connect together. So it's a lengthy passage, but the discourse, you know, refers to this part of it, refers to that part of it. And there's also another text, which we'll also look at a little bit later. Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Good. How are you? How are you, David? Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Just Mr. Center.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. But you haven't missed the nigget, which is...
No, we're just about... We're just going to sing the...
Okay.
I'm looking for a... Right, so we have the mimer melody to help us absorb the mimer. Yam bam ba ya ya yam bam bo ma ya ya ra ma ra yam bam bo yam ba ya 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 yam. Ha yeradam ba ya yeradam ba yom ba yom ya yeradam ba yam ba yom ya yeradam ba yam ba yom ha yeradam ba ha yeradam ba ho ya ya yeradam ba ha ha ya yam ba yeradam ba ho ya ya yom ba ba yom ha ho ya. Haya ya 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 ramba ya ya ba ya ya ramba oh ya 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 ba ya 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 ba ya ba ya ba ramba ramba ya ramba ya ya ramba ya ba yom higher than by yum by yum, higher than by higher than by ho, ya, 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 ya. Right, okay. So this is the discourse for this Sedra Kitavo, said in 1965. It will be when you come to the land. This is in the Sedra, it's about the mitzvah of the first fruit, taking the first fruits which grow and bringing them to the temple. But here we're going to see a spiritual explanation. It will be when you come to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, which Hashem your God gives you. Nachla, as an inheritance, v'yerishta, and you will take possession of it, v'yashavta ba, and you will dwell in the land. And then comes the whole mitzvah we just read about taking a basket of fruit to the temple. V'yadua hadiyuk b'zebidu, sheikh hasidut, And it's known, the comments made in the Hasidic discourses, Dibur Matchil Zeh, which begin with these words, the Mashmaut HaKatuv Ki Tavo, the verse saying, when you come, indicates, Mora al Avodat HaAdam Milamata. It's speaking about the service of the individual below. V'ilu Ma SheKatuv, but then when it goes on to say, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, which the Lord your God gives you, Harei Zeh Inyan Shel Matana Milamayla, that indicates a gift from above. So let's just see that in the actual verse that we have here, Maureen. You see, look at that in the first verse. Vahayaki Tavo El Aretz, when you come to the land, you are doing something, you are making the effort. Hashem Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, which Hashem your God is giving you. God is doing something. You're not doing it, God is doing it. So what's happening? There is a movement from you and there's a movement from God. Right? Line 7 in the discourse. In the Kodat HaBir B'zeh, and the basic explanation of this, She'eretz, when it says you'll come to the land, what does Eretz mean, the land? Eretz humilashon ratzon. The land means, actually the word Eretz means will. Uchamayim Rabbeinu Zal, as the sages say in the Talmud, in the Midrash, they say, Lama Nikhashma Eretz, why is the land called Eretz by that name? Sharatzta la'asot ratzon kona, because it wanted to fulfill the will of God. So the land, the word Eretz is linked with the word ratzon, meaning will, desire. Vahuinyin ratzon pashut. And this Eretz, this Ratzon, this will, is the simple will. Sheyeshno benefesh kol echad miYisrael, which is in the soul of every individual Jew. There is this simple will to do God's will, a will to come close to God. Val zeh omer, about this it says, Asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha, the land which Hashem will give you, I know that means. Shetzarich ladat, we have to know, we have to realize. Shehit galut chatzon pashut, that the revelation of this inner simple will, which is inside everyone's heart, eino inyan sheba b'kol chadam, it doesn't come just through our own efforts. Elo zeu inyan shenotnim elamayla, this is something which is given from above. So there's that sense of what we can do and something higher which comes from above. And so when it's talking about going to the land or the land which God gives us, the land actually means the will, the spiritual will to be devoted to God. And it's something that we may try and work on, but ultimately it's given to us by God. Omnam, however, b'chdei lavo l'b'china ratzon pashut, in order that we should get to this simple will of love of God and willing to be close to God, which really is a gift from above, first of all, there has to be the service in an ordinary, rational way, but according to our understanding. And through that, about that it says, Ki tavo el haaretz, the beginning of the verse, when you come to the land, in other words, when you work on this inner will, sheze haratzon she'al pi tam b'dat, and that's what we are able to achieve in terms of our own rational framework. V'al yedei zeh, and through this, na'aseh kli, we become a vessel, legilu haratzon, for revelation of the will, shelamaylu mitam b'das, which is higher than reason and higher than we can reach, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, which Hashem is giving. So that means in this first verse, we have this image of our relationship with the divine, where we have, first of all, we have implanted within us this positive spiritual will to be close to God and to try to move heaven and earth to come close to God. But that has to be revealed. And so in order to reveal it, the first thing is we have to work on it. And then, so we have to come to the land. We have to arrive. We have to make steps to reach the will inside us. But then God gives it to us. God reveals it. He draws back the canopy, as it were, and that will is revealed. So those are two interlinked aspects of a person's relationship with God. Does that ring any bells in terms of one's human experience? Or is it very remote and abstract?
It's both near and far.
But it makes sense, yeah? We make an effort in certain things, and then a door opens. And it's an inward door. The door opens and there's something there which we weren't able to generate by ourselves. Right.
Is there an aspect of when there's a ratzon, it's like a magnet. It's pulling something towards it. So it's not only us making the first move. So kitavo. When you come, but you come because you're attracted, because the Eretz is there already.
That's a very nice point. That is a very nice point. That even putting it in the terms it's got here, that there's a will in the heart. You know, that will is there in the heart. We may not have done a stroke to reveal it or to live up to it. We may not be aware of it in any way, but it's still there. And it might colour different aspects of what we do, even without us realising that. And so the idea of a Hasidic teaching is to open our awareness to processes which are happening inside us. And so one of those processes is this quality, this will towards the divine. That the will towards the divine is there, implanted within us, and it's a matter of us accessing it and developing. Now, the next bit of the Maimah is going to refer to another text, and I thought it would be a nice thing if we could look at this other text. One second. Right, you should have this already. Yeah. It's the Hayom Yom thing. Actually, you should have it already. Or maybe, you've got it. You've got it, Tehillah.
Yeah,
do you have this?
Oh, is it people?
No, yeah. I don't.
No? Don't. Okay, here. Right. Now, the text that we have in front of us comes from the book called Hayom Yom, which is a collection of teachings. We begin on page 88. Begin on page 88 at the top, then it'll go on to 88a. So this is a teaching, it's by the previous Rebbe saying something. And the Rebbe, our Rebbe, in 1943, he was making a kind of a diary and a little thing for every day, and that's what he put in tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow is Chai Elul, the 18th of Elul, which is a special day. It's the birthday both of the Baal Shem Tov and of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. And it's exactly 12 days before Rosh Hashanah. It's a very spiritual day. But here is a fascinating teaching. So we're going to read it in English. Let's have a look. Do you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up? Or maybe let's do it in Hebrew. Okay, so in Hebrew, it's partly Hebrew, partly Yiddish. So if we begin on the left-hand side, and it's 9 lines down. Tochen Torat HaBal Shem Tov. Do you see that? Tochen Torat HaBal Shem Tov, the content of the teaching by the Baal Shem Tov, B'Shabbat Pasha Tavo, on the Shabbat of our Sedra, Ki Tavo, Chai Elul, which that year was on Shabbat, 18th of Elul, Taf Reish Nun Beit, 1892. Now, what year did the Baal Shem Tov live, or when did he pass away? Anyone know?
Don't remember.
Was it around 1892?
No, it was before, a lot before then, wasn't it?
A lot before.
Yeah.
In fact, he passed away 1760.
Yeah.
So this is a spiritual teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, which he gave to the Lubavitcher Rebbe of that time, who was the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom Dovber. So it's a teaching from the Garden of Eden. The Baal Shem Tov's soul is in the Garden of Eden, and he comes and instructs Rabbi Shalom Dovber, the fifth Rebbe, Rashab, the Rashab he's called, instructs him in a teaching which he then shares with others. So this is what he taught him of Acha Kabbalat Shabbat. It was Friday evening, which incidentally was the time that the Rebbe Rashab would teach his Hasidic discourses, was on Friday evening. Vahayaki tavo el aretz. It will be when you come to the land. Eretz, the word Eretz, lashon murutza v'lashon ratzon. It means running and it means will. Kedita b'midrash, as it says in the midrash. Now in Yiddish, as du v'stzukomen zum rotzum, when you will come to the will, vos is amatona milamayla, which is a gift from above, umbiarusha, and is an inheritance, b'chol echod miYisrael, in every single Jew. So when you come to that, is the avodah dav zayin, then the avodah, the service, has to be v'yashavta, and you should dwell in the land. Dwelling. Now, what does it mean, dwelling? Arop trogen in his yashvus, drawing this spirituality into a settled way. We can have intimations of holiness, but how are we going to have it in a settled way? V'lokachta goyma, and that's what it means. You should take this and put it in a basket. The basket means a container for the holiness. Mamshech zayin oirois bekelim, to draw the radiance into vessels. So the basket represents the vessel. And when it talks about putting things in the basket, it means the spiritual radiance. And then what do you do? You should go to the place which Hashem your God will choose. Ayid da vissen, a Jew has to know, as a gate from Einot in dem anderen, when he goes from one place to another, is nitaget alein. It's not that he or she is going by himself. Nor mafiat him milamayla. He's being directed from above. And the kavona is l'shakin shemo shom. And the purpose, the ultimate purpose, is to make Hashem's name dwell there. So you see, the verse says, when you come to you should put it in a basket, the new fruit, and you should go to the place which Hashem will choose, l'shakin shemo shom, to make His name dwell there. That's what the verse says, meaning that Hashem chose that place, Jerusalem, to make His temple there. So this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov is saying, we are being guided from above. Whatever place we get to, the intention is to make God's name dwell there. We have the task to reveal God's name wherever we are. Our job is to reveal godliness in the place where one is. So that was what he said after Kabbalat Shabbat, which is the beginning of the evening prayer on Friday evening. Achat Filat Avit, but after the evening prayer, Chaza Odapam, he said over again, the Rashab said over again, Torah HaKodemes, that this Torah, which we've written already, Vahosif, and he added, Vahayaki Sovo, when it will be when you come, Bichdei Duzals Tsukuman, Tsumrotzen, in order to reach the will of God, is Dos Duch Demas Vahalachtel Amokum, that's through your going to that place, Lushakin Shmoishom, to make Hashem's name dwell there, Zol Tzich Moise Nefesh Zayin, you should really try with every ounce in your body, even to self-sacrifice. Oif mafasim zayin dotn elokus, to publicize godliness in that place. We all go to different places, and wherever we are, there is an opportunity to reveal godliness. And then he says, mitvosis me mafasim elokus, how can you publicize godliness? Mitabrocha, by saying a blessing. Una posuk tilim, and a line of psalms. So by the fact of being in a place and saying a blessing on some food or something like that, and saying a verse of psalms or a few verses, that's the way one is publicizing godliness. All right, so the Baal Shem Tov is, from the other world, from Gan Eden, is revealing this explanation of this verse, that it's all about our current behavior, and that we're talking about wherever we go, there is this spiritual interaction and this opportunity to reveal godliness.
It's amazingly simple. The way you're saying to reveal godliness, it's not difficult. Mm-hmm. Make a bracha and say a few verses anywhere you go. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you would think, you know, maybe you have to work quite hard. But from what he's saying, it's very simple.
It is very striking, yes. And it's showing the power of what we might think of as a very simple thing, like saying a blessing on a cup of tea or something like that. Everything has got a tremendous power. All right, now we go back into the discourse, which is referring to this teaching. The Yesh L'Kasha said, now this that we've said above can be connected in Torah HaBaal Shem Tov with the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov HaYadua, the well-known teaching that we just studied. Kofi Shenimtzera Al Yedei Kvod Kedushat HaAdmur Mel Rashab Nishmat HaEden, as it was revealed by the Rebbe Rashab. B'Shabbat Parshat Ki Tavo, on this Shabbat, Chai Elul, the 18th of Elul, Tafresh Nun Beit, 1892, Acha Kabbalat Shabbat, after the acceptance of Shabbat, the beginning of the evening prayers, and he goes through this teaching that we've just read, but we've read it in a kind of, it's here in the discourse, but it's in this like more widely known book, Hayom Yom, and we've just read it there. So the Rebbe repeats the whole thing. Now chapter bet of the discourse on page 5. So he's putting that all together. Ach tzarich lahavin, but we have to understand hakesher v'ashaychut l'chol hanal, the connection of all the above, l'inyan ha-bikurim, to the first fruits. It's all very well interpreting these opening words about coming to the land and the land which God gives you, and that you should take it and put it in the basket, and we've interpreted the whole thing in a very spiritual way. But how does that relate to the simple fact of what the verse is saying, that it's about the first fruits, right? So how does it connect to Bikurim? Shenema behemshech hakatuv, which is explained later in the verse, or in the verses, v'lakachta mireshit kol pri adama, take from the first of every fruit of the ground. Gam tzarech lavin, we also have to understand, hakeshev v'shaychut, the connection, the inyan ha-bikurim, of the concept of the first fruit, Lamasha Katu Behemshecha Pasha, of what it says later that we read, Hayom Azeh Hashem Elokecha, today Hashem your God is commanding you, Mitzavacha, Lasot Et Hachokim Ha'ele, to carry out these laws, V'shamata V'atit V'asito Otam, and you should guard them and do them, B'chol Levavcha, with all your heart. Kamavor B'Likutei Torah, as it explains in Likutei Torah, Book of Hasidic Teaching, that verse, right, so now if you just look at that verse again, it is on the double page. I think you need this more. Now on that page, the page that's got 993 on the left, so you've got the verse 15, which ends Zavat Chalav Udvash, which is the land flowing with milk and honey. And then it says Hayom Azeh, this day. Now you see that in the English translation, there's a division between these two things, as if it's a new paragraph, a new thing. But the discourse is putting them together. So it explains in Likutei Torah, line 15 of the discourse, This verse is connected to the previous verse, which finishes off a land flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, Udvash Hayom Azeh Havaya, as pointed out, the word Udvash, which begins with a vav, hayom begins with a hey, hazeh another hey, and yudke vavke with a yud. Those four words make the name yudke vavke. So that shows how this verse hayom hazeh, this day, connects with the previous verse. Shekodim shenichnasu la'aretz. So what does this say? Before they entered the land, haya krita brit, there was a making of a covenant, al kabbalat haTorah, about the receiving of the Torah, milvad haBrit asher karat itam beChorev, apart from the covenant that they made at Mount Chorev, which is Mount Sinai. V'zeh haYom hazeh, that's why it says today, v'lo k'tiv eizeh yom, and it doesn't say which day, mishum d'amikra mechubal l'parsha shelamay lehemenu, because the verse connects with the line above. Dahainu bishat knisatan la'aretz, and that means the time when they enter the land. When they enter the land, there is this sense of a covenant with God. Umamshech leva'en, it goes on to explain, shekamo sheyesh b'china zu b'olam, just as there is this in space, in terms of the physical world, that there is the point of going into the land of Israel, and that going into the land of Israel is a point of connection with the divine and the establishment of this covenant, that there is also kach yesh b'shana, so there is in the year, v'hu b'rosh hashana, and that's on Rosh Hashanah. When we come to Rosh Hashanah, there is some kind of bond taking place between us and the divine. And like it says, Hayom Azeh, today God is commanding you to do these things. So going into the land of Israel was such a moment of today. And in fact, when you read the book of Joshua, you see how they appreciated it in those terms. They felt this sense of contact with the divine through coming into the land of Israel. And in terms of time, that's in space. And in terms of time, so it is with Rosh Hashanah. We come to Rosh Hashanah, bang, there's this connection of everyone's soul with God. And line 27, and therefore, we always read this Pasha, Ki Tavo, sometime before Rosh Hashanah, 2 weeks before, 1 week before. Ki Hayom Hazeh V'goy Koy Al Rosh Hashanah, because when it says Hayom Hazeh, today, that's like a code word. That means Rosh Hashanah. Uvechol Shana Korim Rosh Hashanah, and every year before Rosh Hashanah, Tzarich Kritat Brit Mechadash, it needs a new making of the covenant. al kabbalat haTorah, and it's the covenant of receiving the Torah. Shebarosh Hashanah hu bechina, because of Rosh Hashanah we've got the quality of what it says here, metzavacha lasot. I'm commanding you to do metzavacha lasot. I'm commanding you to do et hachukim, to do these mitzvah, and Hashem commands us in the Torah to do those mitzvah. So that's an element here that we have the idea that we should always think of the giving of the Torah as a thing which is in the present and relates to us now. And here's an additional concept that in terms of Rosh Hashanah is in a sense this reenactment of the bond with God which comes through the giving of the Torah. Okay, let's look for page Zayin. So the question is, how does that relate to Bikurim? We've got the service of the Jew, which is the idea that there's a will to serve God inside our heart, and we work on that, and God gives it to us as a present. And then we've got the teaching from the Baal Shem Tov that this is really what it's all about, and that we come into the world, and wherever we go, we are making Hashem's name be revealed, and we do it whether through a verse of through a blessing and a verse of Tehillim. And so how does all that relate to Bikurim, to the first fruit? All right, so Ot Gimel, paragraph. V'yuvan, this will be understood, v'hakim, by when we consider Hamavor, what's explained. V'o'a Torah, in a book of Torah teachings, which actually has many volumes, something like 30, 40 volumes. But there was a volume that had just been printed at this time. Just before Shabbat, this volume of Hasidic teachings was published. And it has there a discourse on this theme, saying in this teaching, which begins when you come to the land, brings there the saying from the Midrash. Tzafa Moshe b'Ruach HaKodesh. Moses gazed with the divine spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, v'ra'a shebeit hamikdash hatid lecharev, and he saw that the temple is eventually going to be destroyed. V'habikurim atidin lipasek, and the first fruit will stop, because you can only bring the first fruit, you bring them to the temple. If the temple is destroyed, you can't bring the first fruit. Amad v'idkin l'Yisrael, so here, made an enactment for the Jewish people, shiyu mitpalelim shalosh pamim b'chol yom, that they should pray three times a day. So that's what it says in the Midrash. So the Rebbe asks, b'tzarech la'avim, we have to understand this. Kafi shehiksha amagale amukot, as another famous writer, famous thinker of earlier times wrote, Ma shaykh inyan shalosh tfilot, what is the praying of shachrit mincha mairev, the three prayers in a day, how does that relate to Bikurim? Moses saw the Bikurim were going to come to an end, so he established the three tfilot. What has that got to do with it? Umavai b'mayma, and it explains in the discourse of the Tzemach Tzedek, it says, God says, like a first fruit fig, at its very beginning, I saw your ancestors. In other words, our sages tell us, Sha'avot alu b'machshava, before God created the world, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, Leah, etc., they arose in God's thought, lehibarot, to be created, kodem shenivra olam, before the world was created. So in other words, these souls of these tzaddikim, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rachel, Leah, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they are tremendously, tremendously spiritual. And this is what God saw before the creation of the world. And that also explains the verse, your ancestors dwelt on the other side of the river. Right? So the other side of the river can be the other side of the river Jordan. Hainu, but here it's being explained in a different way. Higher than the river which comes out of the Garden of Eden, in a different realm. Beyond the downchaining of worlds. So that's where the patriarchs were, the ancestors of the Jewish people. V'chein kol b'nei Yisrael, and similarly the whole Jewish people, nikraim b'shem bikurim, are called first fruits. Shahare gam nishmot Yisrael, because the souls of the Jewish people as a whole, every single individual, arose in God's thought before the world was created. So the Jewish people and the patriarchs arose in God's thought before the world was created. So the sense is, they are the Bikurim. They are the first fruit. And so therefore, the idea of the first fruit somehow focuses on the Jewish people and the patriarchs of the Jewish people back in the remote past.
Is the word Bechor, like a firstborn, related to Bechor?
It's interesting. Yes, it is. It is.
Same spelling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same root. Yeah, yeah.
Can I just have a cup of tea? I'm falling asleep. I forgot to have one earlier.
Now, in terms of the different kinds of tithes or things that we have to do harvesting, there is what's called truma, and there is bikurim. So there's the first fruit, and there is truma. And the first thing that we separate and take to the temple is the bikurim, the first fruit. So what does the bikurim represent, and what does the truma represent? Bikurim, v'hine bikurim kodmin l'truma. First of all, you take the first fruit. And then, later on, when the fruit has been harvested, we separate truma. Now, truma, hainu Torah. Truma means Torah. Torah is also, shenikret reshit. Torah is also called the beginning, the first. Kamo shekatuv, as it says about the Torah, Hashem kananani reshit dako. God acquired me, the Torah, as the beginning of his way, the beginning of his path. As it says in the Midrash, v'yikhu li truma, you should take me as truma, God says. And hadahu dichtiv ki lekach tov natati lachem. I have given you a good portion, and that is Torati. So the whole idea of truma representing Torah. Or truma, and when we take the word truma, it's Torah and a mem. So that means the Torah, which is given in mem, what number is mem?
40.
The Torah given in 40 days. So, and also, truma is the amount of truma, tithe, that we have to give. This is, the truma is the main tithe, which is given to the priest. We have to take a 50th, which is 2 from 100. Now, what is the 2 from 100? Shazel inyan de bereshis. That's the idea of Beit Reshit. 2 beginnings. 2 from 100. And those two are Chochma Ilah, the upper wisdom, V'chochma Tata, and the lower wisdom. Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah, V'Torah Shebal Peh, and the oral Torah. Because they are both the wisdom. So all that is truma. miss out the brackets. Or bikurim, and on the next page now. And bikurim, so in other words, truma is Torah. And bikurim, shekayel Yisrael. And when it says first fruit, that means the Jewish people themselves. And they come first. The bikurim, taking the first fruit tithe, comes before taking the truma tithe. Because the Jewish people come before the truma, which means the Torah, because you have to have people keeping the Torah. Who is keeping the Torah? And in fact, machshavtan shel Yisrael, the thought of the Jewish people, kadma afilu la Torah, came first, even before Torah. V'lachei nikhaim reishit tzuato, and therefore they're called the first of his harvest. Dahainu legam, lemay legam ebchinat ha-Torah, shenikheit tzuato, higher than the Torah, which is called God's harvest. So, in other words, this Bikurim and Truma is talking about the Jewish people and the Torah. So that's how we understand the way that everything fits together. It's going to come clear from that. All right, so first of all, we've got the idea that Israel alu b'machshava, Israel arose in the divine thought. You see, when it says Israel, it means that there is this inner focus within us, this inner bond with the divine, which is very often hidden. And for many people, you don't see it at all. And even looking at oneself, one might be disappointed at the level of energy, of this spiritual force inside us. You know, is it really there? It's like peering to see if this light is actually there. But it is. And not only is that light there, but it transforms our whole being. And ultimately, our whole being is sacred. And the challenge is for us to live up to that high concept that our whole being is sacred in every way. So there we have the idea of Bikurim and Truma being Torah, Bikurim being the Jewish people, and so on. Now, Omnam, however, Ha'inyan di Yisrael alu b'machshava, this idea that the Jewish people arose in God's thought and are so spiritual, and that's why they're called Bikurim, hu mitzad shoresh u'mekor ha'neshama. That's because of the root and the source of the soul. Avo behitav shuta, but when the soul gets into baguf in the body, Yarda b'yiridat ha-madregot. It came down, down, down the different levels into the physical world. Ubirdei and kadei, in order, shegam yiridat ha-lamata, that even when the soul comes down in the body into the lower world, titgaleba should be revealed in it. He'ara mishosha makora, a gleam from its root and its source. How do you do it? How do you bring out a little bit of the spirituality inside us? What would you feel is an activity that might bring out that spirituality?
Make a bracha.
Making a bracha, that's a beautiful point. Yeah, that's pretty well what he says. Harizeh al yedei inyan ha-tfilah. This is through prayer. Prayer is the opportunity that we have that we can speak to God and communicate from our inner spiritual point, the point of holiness within us. So that is the idea of prayer. And what is prayer? Shenikret sulam mutzav atza. Prayer is described in the Torah. It tells us about the dream that Jacob had of a ladder standing on the ground, and the head of the ladder reached the heavens. So the Zohar, the Holy Zohar, says the ladder means prayer, because it's through prayer that we reach the heavens. And that's what the word tefillah means. Now, tefillah is an interesting word in Hebrew. It's got an extra sense to it, which means bonding to something, joining something. The work of a potter making an earthenware thing, he takes a bit of clay and he mixes it in with the thing that's spinning on the wheel, And that's and it's that bonding of the clay to the small piece of clay, to the larger piece of clay, that's called tofel. The word, the root of tefillah is used for that. So that's really tefillah. Tefillah means bonding to God. Hainu it kashrut v'hitapkut, the joining and bonding of hanefesh, of the soul, b'shosha, with its root, and the root of the soul is the divine. Shezel tachlit habitul, and that's the selflessness. The Shmona Esre, in the 18 benedictions, when we say the Amidah, the Achrei Hagzama, the Psukei de Zimra, after the introduction of the verses, the Psalms, and so on, at the beginning of the morning prayers, we finally say the Shmona Esre, and there's this bonding with God at that moment. And this is actually the meaning of the three prayers that we say every day, corresponding to the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because, as we learned before, the prayers were inaugurated by the patriarchs. That's, as we said before, what it means. And the other side of the river, your ancestors lived, and that means the ancestors, the patriarchs, were on a very exalted level. And that's the connection between the first fruit and the prayer. As we said in the Midrash, that the tefillah, the prayers, correspond to the bikurim. Kevan, since al yedei tefillah, through prayer, mitaleit hanshama l'shorsha mekora, the soul is elevated to its root and source, b'chinat bikurim, in a way of the first fruit. So he's connecting everything together: prayer, the patriarchs, the first fruit, it's all, and the soul of the individual, and its source. Va'al yedei ha'alat hanshama l'shorsha mekora, through elevating the soul to its root and its source, nasid gam hamshecha lamata. Not only do we have a movement from below to above, there's a response from above to below. Shezeu inyan higadati. That's what it is. I declare. We quoted those verses, and the man says, "I declare." Lushon hamshecha. Now the word hagid has another meaning. It can mean drawing something, drawing godliness into the world. Va'ad sham shecha lamata, till the flow below in this world. He ba'ofen shi'ocholim, it's in such a way you draw spirituality into this world, says the Rebbe. Shi'ocholim l'masha shab yadayim, you can touch it. It's tangible. The godliness is tangible. I saw today in a passage, it's a thing called it's the Rishimot, notes that the Rebbe made before he was Rebbe, in discussion with his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe. And so he wrote a lot of different notes, things he heard. And so someone asked, How can you reveal the presence of God? Something like that. You say that God is everywhere, so how can you see it? So the answer was something like, but how can you imagine that the presence isn't there? It must be God. There's obviously God. How can you imagine an absence of God? There's only God. So if godliness is so tangible, so this drawing of godliness down into the world is such that you can even touch it with your hands. The Masha Shav Yadayim. All right. So now section Dalet, the last little section. V'zeh gam hakesher l'hemshech hakatuv. That's also the connection with the end of the verse. Hayom hazeh.
Yeah.
Hi. So that's the connection with the end of the verse. Hayom azeh havai lekecha metzavacha. Today, Hashem, your God, is commanding you lasot et hachokim ha'ele, to do with the to do these statutes, v'shamata v'asita otam, and you should guard them and do them b'chol levavecha, b'chol levavecha, with your whole heart. So that's what is the end of the, like the Rebbe puts those, that together. The translator gives it a different section, but from the point of view of the Maimer, it is one, it's together. Now, Umavom Likutei Torah, it explains in this book of Hasidic teachings, Likutei Torah, Shebechol Levavecha, that with all your heart, if we turn over the page, the last page, Heim Shnei Levavot, they are the two hearts. Now, what are the two hearts? Sometimes it explains in the Talmud, this means the Yetzer Tov, the good desire, and the bad desire, but here it explains it differently. The two hearts are Pnimiyut HaLev v'Chitzoniyut HaLev, the inner part of the heart and the outer part of the heart. And in this case, the inner part of the heart seems to mean the conscious part, the part that we're aware of. The outer part of the heart is a kind of, you know, unconscious dimension, that it's there somewhere, but we're not really focused on that. The inner heart is what we actually feel. Kafishim Avay Shama, as it explains there in that discourse, Al Pi Mashal Mibene Tel Aviv, he gives a metaphor of a son and a father. Sheyesh Shtei Bechinot Ma'avoto Alav. There are two ways in which the father can love the child. One is Shebiyoto Shahu Yetzel Aviv Beveito. He's there with the father, he's in his house. Azaya Ava, then the love, he Bechinat Pnimiyut HaLev, it comes from the inner part of the heart. Because he's aware of the son and he feels it. Masha ain't kein in hirchik, but if he goes far away, there's still love to the son, but it's not conscious. That the son is, he's not thinking, you know, the son's away in university. All right, so he worries every so often. But he's not focused on him in the same way. So that's described over here. Bechlalut, in general, zeh achiluk shebein shoresh shemakor neshama. That's the difference between the roots of the soul, biyota lamala, when it's above, legabi yiridita lamata litlabesh beguf, compared with it descending below to be enclosed in the body. Shehem shtei habechinot desatim begalya, they're the two levels of the hidden and the revealed. Let's just see the commentary on the side. Line 9 of the little commentary on this page, ubichlalut harizeh achiluk, that's the difference between the root and source of the soul, sha'az avat Hashem l'nshamahi begilui. When the soul is above, then the love of God to the soul is revealed. Whereas when the soul is below, we often don't see it. And so that is the difference between the inner part of the heart and the outer part of the heart, where we don't see it. But nonetheless, those are the two aspects. Shaman, it explains there, Inyan Abrit de Rosh Hashanah, what it means, the covenant of Rosh Hashanah, Shuinin Hitkashrut Binukudat HaLev HaPnimim. It means being bonded to the inner point of one's heart. La'achre HaVarat Olat HaLev, after we've removed, so to speak, the foreskin of the heart, the membrane covering the heart, which doesn't allow us to feel godliness. So we remove that, and then we have the Nukudat HaLev B'Pnimiyut. We've got the inner point of the heart, and connecting with that, She'oz Tia Gam Chitzonet Libo B'Hitgalut LaHashem. And then, when we realize the significance of this inner point of the heart, even the outer part of the heart becomes infused with love of God. And the discourse concludes, but the actual conclusion is missing. But we have here this picture of the way in which we are going into the land, and we are trying to find the spiritual dimension that is there within us, and it's there, and it's going to be helped to us. God will help us find it, and it's there in the prayers that we say every day, and in those prayers we are able to make access to the inner spiritual point of our own heart. And so by being aware of that, that helps us achieve the goal of the revelation of the divine within us.